We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Nachlish and Ham Yaakov ben Pinchas Leo. We're in Kalim Perek Yud Beis Mishnah Ches. In Mishnah Vav, we learn that Gomei Klei Matchos, when we speak about unfinished vessels of metal, so according to the Chachamim, then I'm a Kabbal Tuma. You have to wait till you put on a handle, put on a rim, etc. So the Mishnah is going to give us a list of Kalim that, for the most part, are unfinished, and they used in an unfinished way. And since this is typically the way they are used, because we don't really care to finish them because of the purpose that they're used for, if they get ruined, it's not the end of the world. So therefore, they're not for decoration, not for wealthy people to show off, as we'll see in other types of kalim. Therefore, even in the unfinished state, they are mekabel tuma. So the Mishnah says, ha'olar. Olar is our metal scissors. Says the Bar Tanura, she'metaknim bo hakulmasin. Use the misparayim to fix the pens, to fashion pens. Avahakulmus, which is a pen itself. We're speaking about not a quill made of wood, but once again, this is metal, copper, iron, silver, etc., a pen. Vahamitutelus, which is a plummet. Bar Tanur explains, Barzel va'oferes, iron, oled, shetalui bechevel, that's tied at the bottom of a rope, shetofes abanoi, the builder holds on to, biado in his hands, liros, shelo yavo akosalakom, to make sure that the wall is not crooked. You want to make sure the wall is straight, you have to use a plumb line. So this plummet is the metal piece at the end of the bottom of the rope. The hamishkalos, mishkalos are weights, a piece of metal that's used to put on one side of the scale as a counterweight to see what products, what they weigh. The hakurim, which is some type of metal implement that's used in the wine, in the olive press to help press the olives. The hakan, the hakana. So the kan, Bar Tanur here says, Ha'ama shemisar gulimba hasofrim v'haluach shetachtel. This is where you score lines in parchment. So the kana is the second mentioned in the Mishnah with the aleph. Kana is the luach, is the tablet that's beneath. And the kan itself is the ruler that's used to score the lines. All of these, says the Mishnah, are Tameim. And as we said, even though these don't have the finishing touches of polishing them or filing them, engraving them, doesn't matter. This is what they're used for. We don't really care about the finishing touches. The appearance is not, we're not makpid on them. Therefore, the Mekabel Tuma, even though they're metal, in the current present state. The whole Gomei Klei Eitz, Tameim, Chutz Mishel Eshkero. Although these prakim are speaking about metal, we want to show you the contrast. We mentioned this in a previous shiur. When it comes to the unfinished clayates, wooden kalim, there, as opposed to metal kalim, which generally speaking, except the exceptions in our Mishnah, are not mekabel tuma when they are unfinished. Gomei clayates are mekabel tuma as long as they have their clay kibbel, they have a receptacle. They may be missing a handle, don't have a rim just yet. But if they have a clay kibbel, they have a receptacle, they are mekabel tuma. Chutz Mishel Eshkeroa, except the Eshkeroa type of wood. That is a fancy wood. That's a wood that's only used. That's a wood that's, when it's unfinished, it's typically not used as a kli. Therefore, Bar Tanura says, Visha kli paso ava, the outer layer of it is thick, v'kashen, very hard. Vein chashuvin kelim ad shetusar kli pasa v'tugam malachtam, until you take that off and you finish the whole that wood, it's not mekabel tuma. So that's an exception to the rule. But other clay aids, once they have a clay kibbel, even though they're unfinished, they're mekabel tuma. What's the difference? The Gemara in Chulin on daf chav hey gives two reasons why wooden and metal kalim are different. Number one, metal kalim were used for entertaining guests. So they're used more for kavod purposes, and therefore they're really unfinished until they're finished. They're not mekabel tuma till you put on the rim, till you put on the handle, till you engrave them, etc. And therefore, although wooden kalim are used for just have practical purposes, and therefore we don't really care about them being finished, metal kalim is not so, are not like that. And another reason is that metal kalim are just more expensive in general. So if you want to sell them and you want to get a good price for them, you need to polish them, you need to finish them. People are not buying wooden kalim for a lot of money anyway. So these are reasons are kind of connected. They're not that expensive anyway, therefore it's not a big deal. How much more are you going to charge if it has a rim, has a handle on it, if it's wood? But metal, certainly we're able to charge more. And we said the exception to the case of wood is the Eshkeroat wood. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Grofis Shel Zayis Tahora Ad Shetisha Lake. He gives another example of wood. This is the wood of a branch of an olive tree, maybe the root of an olive tree, which cannot be used to make kalim until you remove, there's some oil content that it has there, or some type of sap that it has. And Bar Tanura here says, Anaf shel zayis kroy grofis. It's called the grofis when it's an olive branch. Kamos shel te'enok nikroy yichur. We have different names of branch. In English, we just say it's the branch of this tree. In Hebrew, we sometimes actually have the special name for the branch depending on the tree. The grofis is the branch of the olive tree. The yichur is the branch of the fig tree. But the point is, it's not mekabel tuma if you use this grofis, you make a kli out of this wood, because it really can't be used until you remove whatever oil is in there. It's considered unfinished until that point. And that's what the Mishnah says. Af grofis shel zayis, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, is tahor, is not mekabel tuma, ad shetisha lake. Tisha lake means you have to remove the sap. She consuo so be'esh. How do you do it? You have to put it in the fire, says the Bar Tanura. Until you remove the sap. Perik Yud Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. Hasayif v'hasakin. You'll notice these are all seem to be weapons, at least the first few. Hasayif, which is a sword. V'hasakin, which is a knife. Va'pigyon, which is a dagger. Va'haromach, which is a spear. Magal yad. Now we move into other implements. This is for harvesting. This is a hand sickle. Umagal katsir. So obviously the magal katsir is for harvesting. That's for reaping, and that has a serrated blade. The magal yad is curved, so it looks like it is a magal, but it's not serrated. It's smooth, and that's used for chopping wood or chopping bones. So v'hashchor, also on the list, are trimming scissors. V'hazug shel saparim, those are scissors of barbers. A little bit different than the trimming scissors. Trimming scissors are you trimming things out of the ground. So those are different. Bar Tanur says these are both for hair. What's the difference then between shechor and zug shel saparim? Zug shel saparim means scissors of a barber. So shechor, he says, hem misparim ktanim shemigalchemem. These are small scissors that people just trim their hair in their home. And they're called in the Krim shechor l'fishem mashirin esaser. It's a little bit related. The fact that to be mashir means to remove hair. And others claim that it's like a type of razor. And zug shel saparim are misparim gedolim, very large scissors, gedolim in hashachor. Okay, so all of these items, the sword, the knife, the dagger, the spear, these two types of sickles, the different types of scissors to cut hair, shenechluku, that they were, say, were separated, which means, obviously, into two pieces. So now, that works very well for scissors. So when it comes to a sword, though, or a sakin, two pieces obviously means that it's just cut in half. One part obviously has, let's say, part of the blade, and the other part has the handle with another part of the blade, the lower part of the blade. So in this case, says the Mishnah, Harei Elu Tmeim, both parts of these broken kalim are considered are mikabel tuma. Rabbi Yossi Omer, it depends. Hasamach layad tamei. The part of the scissors obviously are both of those pieces are mekabel tuma. You can cut still with them, even though they're it's a little bit more difficult. But when it comes to, let's say, the knife or the spear, the sword, so here he says that which is next to the handle, that sharp part of the which is attached to the handle, that's mekabel tuma, because people will be willing to use the knife that way. It's only half the size now, the other top part is cut off, but at least you can hold it by the handle. But if a hasamach larosh, but that which is the second half, the top half next to the top, which is doesn't have a handle to hold the blade at all, you have to hold the blade itself, tuma, that's not mekabel tuma, because who would be the Tanakama? Obviously, those people are not afraid to use that. that. And Rabbi Yossi's people are refused to vet. They're going to cut their hand. There's no handle to hold on to. So that top piece is not mekabel tuma. Misperish shenechluk lishnayim. If you have shears that are cut, that are cut in half, what is that? Says Bar Tanura. Hey, misparim shel nashim, that which women use. And that's now cut in half. This is usually a piece of metal that that you bend into two parts, and the two ends are very sharp. Looks like what you would use, let's say, kind of like a tweezer. If you take a piece of metal that you can bend, and now you have the two edges that are sharp at the end. So that's a misperis, and this got cut into two. So although it can't be used exactly the same way, Rabbi Yehuda Metami says it's still mekabel tuma. Each blade can be used on its own. And they say no, since it's considered broken, it's not typically used in such a way. Therefore, it's not mekabel tuma anymore.